This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So it is called the breakthrough drug in the treatment of COVID-19 patients. This is dexamethasone. Research that has been done by the University of Oxford or the Oxford University in the United Kingdom, also indicating what some of the benefits were, including that when it comes to the death rate, mortality rate around COVID-19 patients and patients who were on the trial, there was a 20% decrease in mortality rate of people who were on the treatment. So the drug being manufactured by Aspen here in SA, they also have a plant in Australia, I think a plant in another country as well, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be speaking now to Stavros Nicolaou, who is Aspen Senior Executive for Strategic Trade Development. So all questions that you have in relation to this breakthrough drug, what is this drug? And what is it about this drug that has made it a breakthrough? 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Alderans and Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. The president also spoke about it this week, and the Minister of Health also saying that indeed this is a breakthrough. Not too sure when we will start with our clinical trials. We also see that the WHO has thrown its weight behind the research and the findings of the research. Dr. Nicolaou, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Aldrin, and good morning to all your listeners.
So, in layman's terms, please explain to us, what is this drug?
Aldrin, firstly, let me say that this is not a new product. It's a corticosteroid, otherwise known as cortisone product. To many of the public that use these products. Cortisones are traditionally anti-inflammatories. In fact, we all have cortisone in our body. It's called cortisol. Mm-hmm. And it's the body's own anti-inflammatory drug, if I can call it that. Mm-hmm. And the dexamethasone is a long-acting cortisone, and it is used to supplement any anti-inflammatory requirements in the body, usually. In this instance, what is postulated and what's coming out of the preliminary findings in the Oxford University study is that when you become infected with the virus, the body's immune system goes into overdrive. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, there's a possibility that it affects the clotting cascade or the clotting mechanism of the body, and that's why you're likely seeing these clots, these micro clots in the lungs and other parts of the body. Mm. So applying the anti-inflammatory effect of dexamethasone is likely to reduce that immune overdrive that I spoke about earlier, and that's the reaction that you're getting, and the 30% reduction in mortality rate patients with ventilators.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see on the statement that was released by the World Health Organization saying that, as you've indicated as well, that the drug is a steroid that has been used since 1960 to reduce inflammation in a range of conditions, including inflammatory disorders and certain cancers. So when it comes to the cancer, what is it exactly that the drug is able to do?
So look, you know, a lot of these conditions, including cancer, have an effect on the body's immune system. Mm. And in fact, it's not only used in certain cancers, it's used also in autoimmune diseases. So very often the body's own immune system, the body lands up attacking its own immune system. Those are called autoimmune conditions. Mm-hmm. And anything that suppresses inflammation, including cortisone, is very often used in those conditions. It's certainly not the only thing that's used. There are other immunosuppressant drugs, as they call them. And cortisone is one of those. It's usually the first line in treatment in many of these conditions.
Mm-hmm. Would the dosage be the same?
No, the dosage varies. So I think let me sort of clear this up. So the preliminary investigation by the researchers at Oxford They've used a dose of 6 milligrams of dexamethasone per day, and they've given it in an injectable form. We also have a tablet form, of course. There are two forms, there's an injectable and a tablet form.
Mm-hmm.
But the dosage, the daily dosage used at Oxford was 6 milligrams per day for 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 0619870000. We are in conversation with Dr. Nicolau, who is the who's a senior executive at Aspen Pharmcare, and we are focusing on this breakthrough drug that has research being done on and the benefits of it. And as you've heard, the president has spoken about it. We have heard the minister also speaking about it. So any questions that you have and clarity that you may need on 0619870000, you can also tweet at Alderan Simpia, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Manduli, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good, Manduli. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good morning to Power FM listeners, and happy birthday to Power FM.
Siyabonga.
Adrian, I'm a doctor by profession. I'm phoning out of confusion. I've been a doctor since 1982. And even before I was qualified as a doctor, the dexamethasone, a drug was used. Head injuries of patients with edema, we used dexamethasone. Patients in ICU on ventilators and whatever, we used dexamethasone. Women who were prematurely giving birth, they would give dexamethasone to mature the lungs of the baby.
Mm.
Now, what is the problem? What I have a problem with a breakthrough. This drug has been in use for similar conditions over years. So I don't see the breakthrough. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I do not understand why it is called a vaccine. If it was called a drug treatment breakthrough, I don't know. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand at all. And now we were still waiting for the results of the Artemisia research, which was supposed to have been coming from vets at some stage. It is quiet. We don't hear a thing. We don't hear about progress. We don't have anything. And suddenly we also hear, I'm sorry, I haven't verified this, but we hear that people in Limpopo have been barred from using Artemisia. They used to go to the mountains where it's plentiful, mm-hmm. and they were using it and then giving to their relatives and others selling it. And, I mean, the traditional healers mm-hmm. use it and they sell it. They have been barred from using it. I don't understand what's going on.
Okay.
And I just need that.
Okay, just quickly hold there, Manduli, before you drop the line, just in case Dr. Nicolau has a follow-up question. Dr. Nicolau?
No, thanks very much, Alden. So I think, you know, I can firstly thank for those questions to the doctor. I can partly respond to some of those, mm-hmm. which I'll do. I think firstly, the doctor's quite right. This drug's been in use since 1962. As have other corticosteroids, they've been with us for many, many years. But you find very often that older drugs, when they get used over time, you do find new indications for these drugs.
Mm.
So this is what the Oxford study is presenting, its potential. As I indicated earlier, these are preliminary results that have come through. They're very promising preliminary drugs. And this would be yet another indication of where dexamethasone and long-acting corticosteroids can be used successfully.
Yep.
So we'll continue monitoring the results coming out of Oxford, but it's not an uncommon thing where you've got an old drug that's been in existence for a long time, and then you find a new use or mm-hmm. indication for that.
Okay.
Secondly, I want to clarify, this is definitely not a vaccine. And I know I've also picked up, like the doctor did, one or two reports that are saying this is a vaccine. It's definitely not a vaccine. Okay, vaccine has a very different effect in the body. So a vaccine is preventative, and we're talking about a treatment here. And so I needed to just draw that distinction between the two. On the Artemisian study, I mean, I am aware of it. It's not something that belongs to Aspen.
Yes.
So it's not something I'm that close to. I am aware of the study, though.
Okay. Silent, good morning.
Good morning. I think maybe part of the question has been answered because I wanted to ask the guest whether if it's a vaccine, those who have received it previously, are they now having antibodies against COVID-19? But he says it's not a vaccine. So the last question that I want to ask is that does it treat the symptoms? Because this is a steroid, according to the way I understand it. Does it only treat the symptoms, or it eradicates the virus? That's what I want to find out.
Okay. Dr. Miklo?
Thank you. I think those are both excellent questions. So let me, I know the first one I have really answered. Mm-hmm. But I think just to clear again, it's definitely not a vaccine. But I think what's important for the listeners is with any disease, whether it's an infective disease or otherwise, prevention is always better than cure. And that's what a vaccine does. A vaccine prevents the disease from occurring in the first instance. And that's why they're more effective. However, if we don't have a vaccine, we then got to look at, if you can't prevent, then you've got to look at treating. And this is a treatment option. So I needed to just draw that distinction. Okay, let me move on to the second excellent question.
Yep.
Okay, around, you know, what is it exactly? Is it dealing with the symptoms or not? So firstly, let me clarify that this is not an antiviral. Okay, because there are a number of ways you can treat a virus. You can use an antiviral, which reduces the impact of the virus and it kills off the virus, basically. So this is definitely not an antiviral.
Yeah.
What it is doing, as I indicated earlier, is there's postulation or hypothesizing that you get this sudden immunological surge. So your body reacts to the virus and you get this surge in reaction, immune body's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the dexamethasone reduces that surge.
Mm-hmm.
And that surge is what's been causing some of the problems. So it's reducing that inflammatory reaction that is reducing the mortality rate in this instance.
Okay. Otta on Twitter says, please ask how many patients were part of the trial and if the survivors are, and whether the survivors are free from any side effects or are they still being monitored? And when did the dexamethasone trial start and how long will it conclude? Does preliminary not mean that it's not definite?
Okay, so about six questions there. Let me try and remember all of them. I think firstly, let me say that the study, let me just take a step back. So Aspen was not part of the study. It just so happened that dexamethasone was used in the study, and it happens that Aspen owns the rights to dexamethasone in many markets across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of patients in the study was 4,500 patients. Of course, as with any study, you have the ongoing release of results. So that's why it's called preliminary results. The preliminary results are on these 4,500 patients. It's not uncommon, particularly when you're facing a crisis like this.
Mm.
It's not uncommon to have studies done in phases, and you update the results as you move along. And these studies often go on for a long time. But when you have got a crisis like we have, you do tend to release preliminary findings to see what's coming out there. And you take decisions based on those preliminary results. Will the study continue? Was one of the questions. My understanding is yes, it's an ongoing study. Then what were the side effects?
Mm-hmm.
So every single drug that is registered has some or other side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you look at paracetamol, which is one of the most basic headache pills that we use on very often, even that has got side effects. But you always, as a clinician or as a doctor, you're always going to weigh up the risk versus the benefit of treating any patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the decisions clinically are taken.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that answered all the questions.
But what are the side effects?
So, you know, with cortisone, you get things like you get weight gain, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's a side effect of cortisone. But they're not exceedingly severe side effects. What you have to do, though, with every single patient is if a patient has a particular underlying condition, that any drug that you use exacerbates that mm-hmm. condition, then that's when you've got to weigh up the risk versus benefit profile, which is what any good clinician or practitioner would do.
Yeah. A tweet here from Dikilo says that what is the effect of the drug on blood viscosity? If it does thin the blood, what are the side effects?
Okay, so my understanding is that there's been a lot of interest in recent weeks. And this interest around the effects of the virus on the body's clotting cascade, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the thinking that went around in early January and February when this pandemic was starting to peak in Europe in places like Italy and Spain and France, the thinking was, is this a respiratory disease? Or mm-hmm. then they started picking up clots in the lungs. And some people were saying, well, is this more a hematological effect? So, well, let me try and translate that a bit. Is this more a clotting disease? And then some people are saying, well, is it just purely an immune response that causes a clotting effect? So you had all these theories floating around. And to be honest, we don't have the proper answer for that. And there's ongoing research around that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this context, there's an indication, and I'm using the word indication because there's ongoing research that's got to happen. There's an indication that what happens is the immunological response of the body, the way it responds, its own immune system responds, is likely to have some impact on the body's clotting system.
Okay.
So it's not that it causes a thinning of the blood. Okay. It's that it might have an effect on correcting the clotting defect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hypothesis around it. But as I said, this is a very new condition.
Yeah.
COVID is a very new virus, although coronaviruses have been around for many years. This is a different form of coronavirus, and it's very poorly understood at this point in time. So this is all ongoing research, and I can tell you that specific to this listener's question now, or the tweet,
mm-hmm.
there was a very successful webinar held in Johannesburg 3 weeks ago. And some of the key opinion leaders, Professor Mervyn Mur, Professor Barry Jacobson, gave their logic and reasoning around the whole hypothesis around clotting. So, and they will also admit that there's ongoing research that is required for this.
Okay. Nina, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Eldrin. Eldrin, the point I want to make is this, that of course, everybody on the planet is hysterical about the problem. Governments want to promise their people that there is, inverted commas, a vaccine. In other words, that this will all go away. Pharmaceutical companies want to actually be selling billions of their medication to people on the planet. So there are very, very interesting, fascinating vested interests, which mean, and in fact, universities all want to be the first to have done the studies. So we will keep getting on a day-to-day basis information from governments that everything is just about to be fine and fantastic and everything's over. Pharmaceutical companies that they have the answer, even if it's only a 20% answer and in fact a hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously people jumping on the bandwagons. So I just want to sort of say that to warn everybody to understand the dynamics of what's going on at the moment. COVID is, according to all the experts internationally, very, very different from traditional coronas.
Mm-hmm.
So the responses will not be the same as the traditional coronas. People have to be careful about taking anything quickly because we don't know enough.
Yeah.
And what we should be having is much more discussion about, for instance, what the side effect profiles are of all medications, because they are very bad, they impact people, clinicians do not know, do not bother to attend to individual people, and people end up with gigantic problems. That's the nature of medicine today. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Nicolo, response to that?
Yeah, so I only caught the tail end of that. Unfortunately, it cut off for a while, but I got the beginning part, I think, something around vaccines, and then the latter part around side effects of drugs. So I think, as I indicated earlier, every single drug that is registered in this country and abroad has some form of side effect. And what every clinician has to do, and they do this, and of course all clinicians are trained to do this, is they've got to weigh up in every single case. There's no two patients that are identical. Clinicians have to weigh up always the risk versus the benefit of taking a drug, whether it's prophylactically or for treatment for patients. That's standard cause and standard treatment out there.
I think the point that Nina is also putting through or across is that, of course, pharmaceutical companies will be benefiting out of this. And I don't know, does it not follow that's logic that would happen? Because pharmaceutical companies are also in a business.
So I think pharmaceutical companies are businesses. Mm-hmm. And certainly I can speak for Aspen. I can't really speak for the rest of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to run a good pharmaceutical business, you must put the patient at the center of every decision you make. So at the end of the day, you really exist because you've got to service patients out there. And I think that's got to be the philosophy. And I'm sure the medical profession do the same thing. You've got to be patient-centric around what you do. And obviously, this is a very new virus. And I think as the listener just indicated earlier, I think it was Nina, there's so much that we don't know about COVID.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there are times where clinicians are going to do things on a trial basis. But as long as they're taking the right informed decisions with the evidence they have in front of them and a particular patient profile, I think that's how you've got to look at it at all times.
Have you met with the Minister of Health yet?
I think the from the President right down to the Health Minister, I think they've been, in our experience as Aspen, they've been very proactive. So I can tell you that the Health Minister was on the phone already on Tuesday morning on the public holiday around this development, so that's Dr. Mkhize. And then Minister Ibrahim Patel was also on the phone. So I think our government is taking a proactive stance around this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not only looking at it from the South African point of view, but even the president's been in touch.
Yeah.
And he's saying we need to solve this for Africa. It's not just about South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Do you know whether we're running any trials?
So we're not running trials because this is it's a 70-year-old plus drug.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are going to continue monitoring the Oxford study very closely. And I'm sure there will be other studies that come out after this.
Okay.
Not only around dexamethasone, but many other compounds that could potentially be used.
Okay. Just a final one would be the supply, the availability of stock, and the final one being how then do you make sure that you control the price? Because I think right now we're told that it goes up to 190 rand. Go up to 190 rand, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Okay. So firstly, on the availability of the product. So the product is currently available on the market. It's a prescription product.
Mm-hmm.
So the public can't buy it over the counter. Because it's already got current indications and current use, there is product in market. We are busy working with the health department and other interested stakeholders to try and understand what the demand is going to be like. Of course, this is a brand new development. And it's going to take a few days, if not a few weeks, to to really understand the demand. It's a very targeted approach.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this is going to be used on a case-by-case basis, decision by the clinician, for severely ill COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
So we're busy working out the demand with relevant partners. Regarding the price, so the price is around the single exit price, which is the ex-factory price.
Yes.
In the private sector, is around 90 rand a day. It's 90. And the prices in South Africa are regulated in the private market. So we can't suddenly say we're putting it up to 180 rand.
Okay.
Can't do that.
Okay, no, thank you so much for that. Dr. Stavros Nicolaou, Senior Executive, Aspen Pharmcare.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.